In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. This is quite the contrast this morning. The contrasts are between two wonderful saints of the church that we celebrate, Cosmas and Damian. We've heard of them. They are the unmercenaries. They are the doctors who just gave of their lives completely to heal, not taking any kind of money, just out of total love. They listened to the words of St. Paul. The words today that we heard, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Contrast that with the man in the gospel today, this rich man. And we'll see starkly that contrast, and we'll look at ourselves in the mirror just a little bit. Most of us have heard of that great Christian author, C.S. Lewis, the author of the Chronicles of Narnia. He was one of the most creative and thoughtful, insightful Christian authors of the 20th century. In one of his books, which was called The Great Divorce, he describes a fictional visit to heaven by souls of various people from hell. Those individuals had an opportunity to turn away from their sins that led them to hell in the first place, but not all of them took advantage of this second chance. Some of them were so shaped to the very core of their being, shaped by their own ways of thinking and acting and selfishness and lack of love, that they couldn't turn away. Their damnation was not a result of any kind of arbitrary judgment by God. It was a reflection of the reality of who they had become by their turning inwardly to themselves and not to the love of God and that love to give to others. The rich man in today's gospel reminds us of those poor souls in the great divorce. Because of his habit of indulging himself and totally disregarding a miserable beggar on his door who was clothed in the ugliness of his own reality. But this man, this rich man, he was even uglier, clothed in the ugliness of his soul, an ugliness that outwardly wore outrageously expensive clothes and had sumptuous banquets every day of his life. And yet he could step over and around this poor man named Lazarus as if he was garbage on the ground. All that Lazarus wanted was crumbs from this rich man's table. You might say his garbage, but the rich man could care less. He was so greedy and thoughtless that apparently he denied him even the littlest crumbs of nourishment. Our Lord is quite clear about what such insensitivity does to us human beings. Mercy, compassion, and love had no place in this man's life, and consequently, he was cut off from the mercy, compassion, and love of God by that. His eternal suffering shows the reality of what it means to respond to our calling to live as those created in the image and likeness of God. This man, this rich man, he would not be like God in any way. He would not show the mercy and love of God in any way. He showed what he thought of God by treating his neighbor, one of the least of these, my brethren, as Jesus says, as if he were trash. And when he called out for mercy from Father Abraham, once he was cast into perdition, even then he could only think of himself in his call for mercy. He wanted a little water put on his tongue. He could care not for about this poor Lazarus or anything else in his life. He was only thinking about himself, even then in his sufferings. He cared only for himself and his family, and obviously he had no concern for obeying Moses and the prophets, who had made it clear the obligation of the Jews to care for the poor. We encounter him, our Lord, every day in our neighbors, especially the poor, the wretched, and the inconvenient. The widow, the orphan, the stranger, the emotionally and mentally distraught among us, those whom we would rather not spend time with because it's a bother on us, those who may be going through a rough patch in their life. All of these are our neighbors made in the image and likeness of God and placed in our paths so that we might be our Lord and His love to them. The rich man in the parable shaped himself decisively in unholy ways by his behavior. In contrast, we may shape ourselves decisively in holy ways by our behavior. We will either worship our Lord and serve Him, or we will worship ourselves. It may well be that the Lord's eternal judgment will be more a confirmation of what one has become rather than a shocking decree out of the blue, just as in the parable of the goats and the sheep. God knows every one of our hearts and minds, and we can hide nothing from Him, either today or at any point in the future. Our faith as Orthodox Christians goes to the heart and depth of who we are, but also reminds us that we are always in a relationship with other people who are also the children of God. That's how our Lord planned it. We are not placed in this world to be ourselves and to be by ourselves and to be individuals, but to be in community with those who are in the likeness of God. We encounter our Lord Jesus Christ each day and everyone else that is around us. Who we are in our relationship to Jesus Christ is shown daily in our lives and how we treat each other, especially those who need our help, our attention, and our friendship, as well as our enemies, those you don't care for, that I don't even want to be around. A Christianity that ignores the least of these, my brethren, is not worthy of the name Christian. Every human being is created in the image and likeness of God. That is a fact. We bring judgment upon ourselves whenever we treat our neighbors, no matter who they are and how they've offended us, in ways that do not manifest the divine love and compassion of Jesus Christ. No, the point is not that the rich will be damned and the poor will be saved. That has nothing to do with this gospel. Instead, it is that there are strong and deep temptations associated with always focusing on ourselves, especially our wealth, our possessions, and our success in this world, to the detriment of everyone around us. For if we love ourselves and our pleasures and our status more than God and neighbor, no matter how much or how little we have already shut ourselves out from the kingdom of God. The name Lazarus means one who has been helped. And those whose miserable life circumstances do not encourage them to trust in money or power or success are in a good position to learn their help is in the Lord and in His mercy and love. The rich man never learned that lesson. But those two saints today whom we are commemorating, they are our examples. They are the ones who have trusted in the mercy and love of God and show it. The holy, unmercenary healers, Cosmas and Damien. They used their money. They used their training. For we remember, if we were here in Matins this morning, spoke about how Theodota, their mother, gave all she could that they would be raised in the sciences of healing so that they could give their lives for the Lord. They used the money they inherited from their parents to provide medical care without charge to the sick and the needy. And God worked great and wonderful miracles through these unmercenary saints, through these channels of His mercy and love to the weak, the stranger, the least of our brethren. St. Paul's famous words again this morning. There is no greater thing than this love, this unselfish love. Paul again said, we heard these words, I can remove mountains. I can do the greatest of miracles, but if they are not with love, they are nothing. And that love is the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the greatest example. He is the one Cosmas and Damien followed. What has He done? Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself has lowered Himself in a way that no other human being could have. He has lowered himself unto the cross, unto death, unto suffering for us, even when we have sinned, even when we have taken ourselves and placed ourselves number one. He became lowest for us. Our Lord Jesus Christ has given us that grace and gives it again and again in his healing each and every time, that we who are steeped in the poverty of our sin and our misery, we who turn away from our neighbors, we can come back to him and we can be strengthened so that we might be like Cosmas and Damian. That we might show that love that St. Paul says, a love that is patient and kind, a love that is not jealous or boastful, is not arrogant or rude, a love that does not insist on its own way, is not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at the wrong, but rejoices in the right. For it, the love of God that he has given to each of us in our baptism, that is the love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That love never ends in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.